Good afternoon. I'll never forget the first time I went to orientation at the school in Knoxville. Of course, I was supposed to be the director, but I didn't know all the ins and outs, so other people did all of that. And I remember Brother James Meadows standing up, and he, among other things, he said, "Now, if you get sleepy in class, go stand in the back and keep taking notes." And after a good meal like that, that might be good advice. Go stand in the back and keep taking notes. It's a blessing to be here. What a joy to be with everyone. This morning we started talking about handling stress, talking about handling it God's way, which, of course, is not the way all people do it, but it's the best way. We noted that we need to begin with prayer, that we need to listen to God in His Word. We need to ask for forgiveness, that is, whenever we may have sinned. We need to develop a network that can support us in difficult times. We need to act so as to change those things that we can change, and then we need to accept. There are some things I cannot change. Now I've got to accept that, whatever that may be. Think about, you know, Harry Barclay. He's going to be 90. Some of us have offered to bring Miss Betty a paddle. And it'd be 90 plus one to grow on, Harry. I mean, you can't change that. It's the way it is. But, you know, that's a fun thing. We're going to enjoy that. Some things you don't enjoy. Some things are a daily grind, a daily difficulty. How are we going to handle it? Some of those things we cannot change. Look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He has been talking about the various things that he went through in his life. They were things that we would not consider a list of great things, and yet there he is. He's bragging on it, as opposed to those people that were bragging on their accomplishments. He was talking about what he'd suffered. And then he gets to chapter 12, talks about a man that went up into paradise. And we know it's him because of the way he goes on and writes, and especially beginning in verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul, what are you going to do about it? Now, I want you to notice that Paul is in many ways just like the rest of us. He had a problem. Thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. I've heard lots of discussions about it. I imagine that just about everybody got some idea what they think that may have been. But no matter what it was, he thought that he would be a better servant of God if the thorn was taken away. So three times he went to God and begged for God to remove that thorn from him. God finally said, basically, I'm putting this in my word, "Okay, that's enough of that. It's not going away. Truth is, when you're weak, my strength shows through." And so from that point forward, Paul accepted it. He came to realize that the power of God could be seen, of all things, in the weakness of Paul. And maybe that's what all of us need to do at times, is to look at our difficulties and think, now how might God use this as an advantage? What good could come out of it? Have you ever known somebody that constantly was having to be attended to? Various nurses or whatever would come in, maybe visit for a few hours each day, and that individual used the time to talk to the nurses about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the power of salvation. Realize that some things just have to be accepted. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul again demonstrates what we're talking about. In the beginning of verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Stop there just a minute. I have learned. Do you like that word? Does it come naturally to accept every kind of state? I guess we'd say, well, man, I'd love to accept getting a lot of money. Yeah, I suppose everybody would love that, but what about when you don't have any? What about when things are down? When they're not going well? Paul said, it doesn't matter. I've learned in whatever condition I'm in to be content. Then he goes on. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the real answer, isn't it? How can I accept this difficulty that confronts me? How can I accept this thing that's stressing me out? The answer is, let the Lord help you. It kind of reminds me of, you ever seen any church bloopers? This one church bulletin came out and it says, "Are you filled with trouble? Let the church help." Well, the way it was written, though, was not quite that way. Does it seem like more and more loads of trouble are put upon you? Let the church help. What, put more load on me? Is that the idea? No, that's not it. What is it? Give it to Christ. Let Him have it. Let Him take it on. Accept where you are and realize He can use it if I will let Him. That will help me. It will help you cope with stress. And then, serve. Serve others. Now, I will make an observation. It is one that I will admit is based on what I've seen. Your experience may be different. But when people, including me, get overly focused on our own problems, it seems like the problems just get worse. They get heavier and heavier and heavier. And we begin to be poor me. Everything's poor me. Why me? Why is all this happening in my life? The people that I see who can work their way through that, dedicate their life to serving others. Listen, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to Paul as he talks. He's writing those same brethren we've already read a little bit about earlier. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Who's the first person that they send into a hospital room to help somebody who's just gone through, let's say, the amputation of a limb? I mean, besides the doctors and nurses, of course they work with them, but who do they like? They send somebody who's gone through that. Somebody who's already got a prosthetic. Somebody who knows what it's like to feel like everybody that everywhere is looking at you and only you. That person knows how to deal with it. We need to realize that there are folks out there that need to know how to cope with whatever stress is in our lives. God helps us so that what? So we can help other people. So we're prepared to lift them up. And the best way to do that is to look for people to serve with the knowledge that we have. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we find a quote from Jesus that, to my knowledge, you can't find it anywhere else. The Apostle Paul is talking to those elders from Ephesus, and as he's closing out his words to them, he says, "I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When you were younger, where was your focus? Around present giving time. I think most of us have to say, well, it's on, what am I going to get this time? As you get older and you grow in your love for other people, where's the most fun? Where's the real joy? It's in watching other people open up that special present. It's in seeing others get exactly what they needed, and you were able to help with that. Our labors need to focus on the needs of others. And here comes the interesting part. When they are lifted up, all of a sudden, my burden doesn't seem as heavy. My stress seems to be eased because of serving other people. So let's all look around us and see how we can serve. Then, we need to provide. Provide for two things, really, for physical and mental health. Look at the book of Mark chapter 6. This is where Mark reports about the return of the apostles from what we often call the limited commission. They'd gone out, they'd been preaching for a period of time, they'd come back and they're gathered now to Jesus. And in verses 31 and 32 of Mark 6, here's the record that we receive. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Every now and then it's good to have a quiet time. Just to be you and God alone. In this case, it was them and Lord, wasn't it? That they were alone with. And what a blessing can be found there. One thing that I love about in my later years walking is that there's nobody with me to talk to, and you know how I love to talk. So I talk to the Lord. If I walk 30 minutes, I talk to the Lord 30 minutes. I talk about everything that's on my mind. I open up and let it go. Sometimes I say, "No, Lord, I'm wrestling with this thing, whatever it is. It's really giving me some troubles. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. I don't expect you to necessarily exactly remove this from me, but just help me. Help me know how to handle it. Just good for the mental health." Come back off that walk, and all of a sudden, nothing's really changed. Except for one thing. Took that little break. Just a little bit. And it made a difference. By the way, this mental break for them was also a physical break, wasn't it? They were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. And so they're working on both mental and physical health. as they go aside, just for a little while, into a deserted place. I think it's important for us to do that. Listen to Paul. He's closing out his life. He's writing about it, actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This chapter, if there's any chapter that I struggle with reading without emotion, it's this chapter. Because I can just envision this great old warrior at the cross who's been through so much in his service to God. And in some ways, he's been left all alone. He even talks about that, doesn't he? On his first offense, nobody was with him, only the Lord. It brings tears to my eyes to think about that. He knows he's dying, and yet listen to what he's thinking about, even now, at that time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Most folk notice as they get older, they're not nearly as warm as they used to be. You got to have a coat. Or maybe you didn't used to have one. Or maybe it's getting toward wintertime. I don't know. When Paul wrote this, it might have been. Whatever the case may be, he's looking out for his physical health. Bring the coat that I left behind. But it wasn't just the coat he was interested in, was it? The books and the parchments. And can you imagine? He doesn't know but that tomorrow will be the day in which Caesar will rule against him and he's going to die. And yet, if I'm going to live, what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit around and pour me all the time. I'm not going to pout about it. I'm going to take up my books and the parchments. I'm going to read and I'm going to write. I'm going to lift up as many people as I can. Do you realize that four books, at least in the New Testament, are prison epistles? Where everybody else might have sat down and tried to write the governor for a pardon. That's not Paul. That's not the way he works. Instead, he writes to the church at Ephesus and at Philippi and at Colossae and, yes, to Philemon. And in each case, he's focused not on himself, but instead on the other folks. I think Paul's mental health is pretty good. Don't you? When you're under stress, beware. Take care of your physical and mental health. Provide for it. And then, maybe most importantly of all, trust. Trust God. I've got to tell you, this is where I think the struggle comes. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe you're not this way. Have you ever prayed to God and asked Him, help me with this problem? And then, almost effectively, you may not have said it out loud, but what you were thinking was, right now. Have you ever done that? Every now and then I've been that way. I can remember praying and saying, close all the doors. And just open the one you want me to go through. I remember that prayer. And I remember door after door after door after door closed. And I finally prayed and I said, Lord, I know I asked you to close all the doors you didn't want me to go through, but would you please open one? It was then a preacher friend of mine, who, by the way, had lost his job. He had 90 days to find a new one, and on the 90th day, he didn't have one yet. And a fellow told him, and he repeated to me, have you ever noticed how many times God waits till you're at the edge before He acts? And just think, just a moment, just the children of Israel. When did the water part? when they were going across the flooded Jordan. Why didn't Linda soak to the priest's feet and touch the water? That's pretty much last minute, don't you think? By the way, that preacher friend, guess when he got his job? On the 91st day. Yeah.
Trust God. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what you're going through.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have this reassurance from Paul, who says, there's no temptation overtaking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful,
who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Boy, that's going to take some trust, isn't it?
There's always a way out.
Well, why can't I see it? Have you ever asked that question? Well, just keep looking. Because God made a promise and you can trust Him.
In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we come to a passage that, man, I can't tell you how many people have told me this is among, if not the, favorite passage they have in all Scripture.
Listen to what Paul said. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
And you know what? I think at least my problem in days gone by has been, I think I didn't quite read that correctly. And it came out more like this. And we know that all things will be good.
But then it doesn't say that, does it? It says work together for good.
You ever made a chocolate cake from scratch?
I have. Teresa will tell you it was semi-edible. You know, I know that you're supposed to put that cup of cocoa in there, but I have never had a desire to lick the quarter cup or half cup, whatever it is. I never had a desire to lick it out. Pour it in there, good, but don't lick it. I'm not interested in that.
Whew,
that's bitter stuff.
I'll tell you something beyond that. I think there's about a cup of sugar goes in there, and I don't even lick that cup out either.
It's just too much. But when you put it together with the flour and the raw egg and the oil and all the other things that go in there,
when you put it all together and you mix it up and cook it for the appropriate span of time,
I'm telling you what, that cake may not get past Jason and me. We're going to finish it off. Right? It'll all work together. But now, read the rest of that chapter.
I'm not going to read the whole thing. But you know what I see there? What he ultimately is saying is, in eternity. It's all going to work out in eternity.
And there's one verse that I do want to focus on just briefly. It's verse 32, where he says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
If God sent Jesus to the cross, do you really believe
that He won't give me what I need? I think you can trust Him. I know you can. He'll take care of it. Stress. Do you ever think God's Word had an answer to that?
This whole world talks about it all the time. We got the answer right here in this book. And when you get to
that bottom line is the one we all need to see and see very clearly. God can be trusted. He did give His Son for you and for me.
He wanted us to be set free from our sins, and thus Jesus died on Calvary. Not in God's best interest, except that He loved us.
We can have the benefit of that sacrifice. if we hadn't already, by repenting, being baptized. But most of us have done that.
This crowd that we have here this afternoon, what about us? Well, here's the good news. He hadn't stopped caring. He still cares. He's still ready. The question is, am I really ready to put down my cross, to give them over to Him, to repent of my sins, to tell Him about my weaknesses and ask for His help? Am I there? If you are, what better time than right now to come while we say it?